Well, I was speaking to Courtney, the producer of this show, and he was just saying he had done something that I think I might want to do, because when I eat meat, I don't... Well, anyway, he was talking about having artificial meat.
Artificial meat? Yeah, no thanks.
but have you tried it yet?
No. Oh, is it in a lab? The one that's in a lab?
No, you can buy it now. It's
you can buy it?
You can buy it. You can go...
Really?
I think Coles has it.
Coles have artificial meat.
And just between you and me.
Yeah.
Asked. I'm whispering because just pretend
people don't know. Yeah. You asked to be the ambassador for.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what I get
but sleeping, I didn't do it.
I get sleeping machines. You get a fake meat.
But I shouldn't. I have a policy that I don't bring up things I knock back.
You should do a retirement home. I reckon I could imagine you. One of those ones on a golf course.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've done gigs in them where you go along and I'm like, oh, where do you guys live? We live here. You live here. Yeah, we live on the course.
I like those old guys who have got grey hair and they still look really good, and they're with their wife and
normally the blonde wife. Yeah,
yeah, and then they go, yeah, that's not a bad looking life. But anyway,
play golf every day.
You don't want to play golf every day.
Well, I get very good. Anyway, go on.
Would you be, because if you eat sausage, that's bad for you. Anything like anything.
Oh, I love sausages. I got some. Bought some at the market yesterday.
I'm not saying they're not nice, but they're not anything.
They're not good for you.
Anything processed.
Ham,
is good.
Processed ham.
Ham, bacon,
turkey, bacon.
You know, and I don't react well to it.
But you don't eat. You don't go up the deli and get some sliced meat.
No.
I think I went there yesterday and got some sliced meat.
What's your go to?
Oh, I like turkey.
Is it like it's not processed turkey?
Yeah, it would be. It's like turkey at the deli.
And how do you have it?
Oh, just on a roll with cranberry and avocado. Oh, beautiful. Good tomato. Oof.
Your eyes are rolling back in your head. It's like
love turkey.
Showing you dirty photos or something. Yeah. Just food porn. Yeah. Anyway, I am interested in trying
fake meat.
Courtney said it was good, but it was kind of like it played with your head a bit because your body went, it's not meat, but it's like carob chocolate.
Oh, it's the funniest thing in a health food shop, seeing a child get a carob frog. I want one of them. I want one of them. They bite into it. Oh, that look on their face is like, what?
Yeah.
We went to a pub, a traditional, I'll name the pub, the Caring Bush in Collingwood, Abbotsford.
This is in Melbourne.
Yeah, this is like a traditional, I used to go there in the 80s when I lived in a shared house because they had the best pub meals, cheap. You sit in the bar and it was a full, full on tradie. Yeah, knockabout. Collingwood pub. It was known as a Collingwood pub.
Yeah, blokes at the bar, regulars.
Yeah, crims. Yeah. You know.
Had the footy on the big TV.
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't. No, only a little one. No TAB. So it's even more traditional than those ones.
Okay, yep.
It's a really old school pub. And then we went there on Saturday night with one of the dads from school. It was his birthday. Anyway, it's vegetarian now. Fully vegetarian. Anyway, I had my vegetarian. I'm very, very healthy now. I had my vegetarian food. Had cauliflower. It was beautiful, actually.
Can't eat cauliflower.
You can't eat cauliflower?
No, I react to it.
Is it on your food map?
Is it FOD? Food.
No, I call it food map.
FOD.
Oh, I love cauliflower. It was fried, so...
Fried cauliflower?
With chips and coleslaw.
Anything is good fried.
Oh, I reckon.
Anything dipped in batter is good. Anything in a ball, as we've said before. Anything in a ball is good.
Anything you can eat with your hands is good. As my teenage son said to me, Dad, I just like food that you can eat with your hands. Is there a name for that kind of food? Called shit food.
I want to hang out with you guys when you go out for dinner.
Yeah, well, anyway, a bit struck by the vegetarian restaurant.
What happened, do you reckon? Do you reckon someone stepped in?
Someone's taken it over.
You reckon they've taken over the whole pub and gone?
Yeah.
So what are the locals?
They're not reacting well, the barman said.
No.
They're not reacting well.
Because as we were saying before, you need a crossover menu. You need, like, here's what we're
transition menu.
Yeah. And then we've still got, well, as we said before, you and I, our death row meal would be...
Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Mine would be schnitzel.
There's a good idea. Death row restaurant.
Death row restaurant. What a great idea.
Yeah. Which is you ring up...
And have like a novelty electric chair that kids can sit and get their photo taken.
Yeah, that's great. And everyone's in cells. And then you come along and you go, Dave O'Neill, your last meal. And you slide it in and you get the meal that you've ordered. And then at the end of the night, you get taken down to a room.
To the chair.
This is theatre restaurant. This is brilliant. Oh, God.
Imagine the protests.
It doesn't matter. Get a bit of free publicity. Here comes the music.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
This is...
okay, so should we get...
Somehow Related.
Yes.
Somehow Related. Dave O'Neill, Glenn Robbins. Things that aren't related but somehow are. So you're going... as you hear the topics that Sam kindly gives to us, you go, how the...
I won't say how related.
How is that related? And then you go bit by bit, like two CSI investigators, real crime. We're real crime. We sort it out.
We do. Just move my microphone because my chair is slowly going
down. I just noticed that. I thought, were you trying to be funny?
I think it's okay. I've hit a level now.
I think
now.
You've eaten a bit too much vegan food. Yeah. Too much cauliflower.
Fried cauliflower. I don't know. I'm eating vegetarian, but I'm getting fatter. It's because you're having a lot of cheese and fried stuff. Mm. All right, let's get the topics. Here they come.
The Beatles and Mount Everest.
Beatles. Are they called the Beatles or Beatles?
That's the Beatles, isn't it? Because, yeah, you're right. Some bands are like the band or the Who.
Because Adam, what's his name? Your host for that show you used to do.
Adam Hills, Specs.
I said on his show, I said something about the Skyhooks. And he said to me, well, I know them well enough to know that they're not called the Skyhooks. They're called Skyhooks.
What?
Adam Hills.
Did you tell me shut up?
I said I was friends with you and that you would take it up with him later on. Yeah. But I think they're not the Beatles. They're
Sam, are they the Beatles or the Beatles?
That's an interesting question.
Mm.
Because what is it? The definite article.
Mm.
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
Like the Who. But you see, think about like Madness. You don't go, they're the Madness. You know it's just Madness, don't you?
Well, you can't say the Madness.
No, you can't. They have the Specials.
Well, you say the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, but I reckon it's just Rolling Stones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Went to the Rolling Stones. Ooh.
I'm thinking of bands. My band list is pretty... The Monkees.
Well, that's definitely... They're definitely a that. Mm. Hey, it's the Monkees.
Mm.
The Who.
Yeah.
The Little River Band. Yes.
Definitely the Rolling Stones.
Definitely the Rolling Stones. Mm.
Sam's onto this. Beatles.
Oh, yeah, Beatles. Yeah, great.
I'm a Harrison in my family bloodline.
Oh, that's amazing. So you're related to George Harrison?
Well, no. He's related to me.
That's right, of course.
Get it right.
George, he was probably my favourite Beatle.
Why is that?
I don't know. I like George Harrison. He seemed to have a nice... I saw some documentary about him and he was really nice.
Oh, he did a document. They did a documentary recently.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating. It doesn't get a great review on Netflix. It doesn't get... Because you do look at the stars on Netflix...
No, I don't even know where they are.
It's like it has a little thing on the top of the screen. It says 94%.
Okay.
Which I don't know whether that means 94% it's good or 94% it's good for you personally.
Yeah, right.
It's like buying a washing machine star rating.
Yeah. Do you believe that stuff?
No, not really.
George. But George, he had that great song, the one that you got sued over.
Come on, you've been 55 times or something.
The one that ends with Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Oh, because he stole a lyric out of a lick.
Or a riff. Let me think about it. But he sort of annoyed me because he was a Hare Krishna. That sort of annoyed me a bit because I'm not no big fan.
And it was Sam.
What song?
My Sweet Lord.
My Sweet Lord.
Which was derivative of?
It's derivative of My Sweet Lord. There was a lawsuit. And then they had to settle. George had to settle.
I would imagine that if you're a songwriter, as you and I are, that sometimes you hear things and they go into your subconscious and they pop back out again. You're thinking, I wrote that.
Yeah.
In actual fact, great. Some comedians are like that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, now, but you have to ask the question, was it knowing or was it not
unknowing?
Unknowing.
Yeah. I think sometimes you can come
with me, it's completely knowing. I just leave other people's material. And
I just get on YouTube and watch Best Stand-Up.
There was a time before YouTube, lots of comedians would go over to the US and come back with fantastic
routines.
Routines. You go, wow, you've really improved since you
really
went to the
US. Really worked on it.
Wow. And then you go over to the US and go, wait a minute.
He's So Fine, written by Ronnie Mack.
Yeah, He's So Fine. That's right. He's so fine, my sweet lord. If you think about it, they do sound similar, and I think they won the case.
$1.5 million settlement.
$1.5 million.
Yeah, it's nothing. That's a little drop in the ocean for him.
For George.
Yeah.
Well, you remember the Men at Work, Kookaburra Sits on the Gum Tree scandal.
That was, what's his name?
Terrible.
Took his life,
Greg
didn't
Hamm. Greg Hamm. I don't know if that was, was one of the reasons, but yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, the songs do sound similar, but then if you're in the musical world, there's only so many notes, isn't there? There's only so many melodies you can hit, you'd reckon.
But if you if you But if it is directly
a rip-off,
then you have to at some point go, well, you made some money from that. But it's, as you say, it's hard.
It's harsh. Did you see the Rolling Stones gave back the money or the Verve? Do you know the song Bittersweet Symphony? It's a bittersweet symphony. Anyway, they're a 90s band, the Verve. It sounds a bit better than that. They got sued by the Rolling Stones because it was very similar to one of their songs. And then, like, about 2 weeks ago, the Rolling Stones gave all the rights back to the guy from the Verve and said, oh, you can have the money. The guy from the Verve goes, it's the best day of my life, when they rang up and said, you can
I don't want to bring it back up to me, but I did write Uncle Arthur's Bedtime Stories.
Wow.
And I was threatened to be sued by Uncle Arthur's Bedtime Stories.
That's right, in America.
Imagine Uncle Arthur being called up at court. And I write the books in honest... You know, I tried to write the best I could, and, you know, I couldn't help it if someone... Yeah, anyway, so they said if I ever sold in the States that I was going to be... They were going to sue me. So we never sold in the States, so hence that book was never a multi...
Never a huge hit. So were you a Beatles fan?
I was.
Yeah.
But now I can't listen to them.
It's true. Why can't you listen to the Beatles?
I don't know. It just reminds me of a period, I guess. I don't want to...
When you had your mop-top haircut...
Well, I'm quite old, as you are, but in my time you could get a Beatles plastic wig, which was a plastic version of their haircut.
Wow.
And you put it on top of your head and walk around thinking you're a Beatle.
Did you have that?
What?
Did you have that wig?
Yeah.
You had one?
Yeah, I had one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and your hair used to sweat and get all matted underneath it and look like crap when you took it off. I was in the Celebrity Grand Prix.
Yeah. With George Harrison?
I don't spoil the story. God, you jumped ahead. God.
Well, I just know that he's a fan of motorsport.
Well, again.
Like Keanu.
Okay, then I'll cut the story short then. I was at the Grand Prix and we walked through the Formula One area and all where it's all like a surgery. It's so clean. And I walked through one of the pit areas and there's this old guy sitting on a chair. And I walked, I wasn't until about 5 minutes later, I went, that was George Harrison.
Wow, was he just sitting watching?
Just sitting watching them with their spanners and their... You know, all that stuff.
Like porn to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd travel halfway across the world.
To see blokes with spanners. Could have gone to his local mechanics and said, I can sit in a chair. Well, bring your guitar if you're going to sit in a chair, buddy. Play
Okay. We'll do a bit of, we'll do some mechanical work.
My sweet lord.
What a bit of my sweet. Now, something that's not derivative, though.
I really want to
see been sued for.
He wrote a few songs in the Beatles. I think he wrote Here Comes the Sun. That was one of his. Here comes the sun, and I say.
So when they had a meeting, right? Lennon and McCartney turn up and go, okay, guys, this is what we're doing today. And then George, I've got a song.
I think they did used to dominate by Paul and John. Yeah, but you know they didn't really write songs together. I think they sort of wrote them individually, and then would take them to each other.
But that's in fairness though. That is the way a lot of people work, isn't it? How did Elton John and what's his name work?
I don't know. Elton John and the Rocket Man. I think it's similar.
Bernie Tolman.
Yeah, I think it's similar. I think it might be similar.
Because one comes up with a melody and then one comes up with the lyrics. Who writes the lyrics? The melody is Elton.
And then Bernie writes the lyrics.
Oh, gee, I could get into trouble here. Don't worry about it. Who cares? It's one of them. Yeah, it's one of them.
Anyway, so what would be your favourite album of the Beatles? Do you have a favourite album? Or
no.
What about a favourite song?
One of the old ones, Twist and Shout or something.
I really like that stuff.
Come on, you can't turn your nose up if you've asked me.
But, you know, songs like Across the Universe, they're great. Across the Universe, that's a great song. That was But also, you know, my favourite album is Rubber Soul. That's the pop album, I reckon. They reckon. Because the White Album's a rock album.
I think you need to hang out with a few Beatles fans.
And I'm not that fan. I wouldn't own any of their records. I reckon I owned Rubber Soul because I was too young. I remember my dad liked the Beatles.
Yeah.
I remember when he got Let It Be and it was only an EP, he was really angry because he got it in the mail. He used to send away for records.
So if a song came on the radio now and it was the Beatles, would you go, I'll sing along with this?
If it was Twist and Shout or Get Back, I'd switch it over. But if it was one of the more, I don't know. I mean... You know, songs like Yesterday are still very good. Very good song.
See, I like a lot of a bit of Lennon's late work.
Oh, yeah.
After the Beatles.
What's
of course, Imagine.
Imagine, Jealous Guy.
Yeah, come on. We all, you know.
The one about peace and love. Oh, some of his songs are great. I think Yoko had a good influence on him. What's your vibes on Yoko?
Well,
I was reading this interview with Paul McCartney, and he said that, and the interviewer's going, oh, you know, you're a bit mean to Yoko. And he goes, oh, not really. But he goes, we just came to rehearsal one day, and she was sitting on one of the amps.
You would.
And so, I mean, I was in a band, whatever, and we were called Noiseworks.
Captain.
No, Noiseworks. And Captain Cargo. And I couldn't imagine if you came into the rehearsal studio one day and one of the guy's girlfriends or boyfriends was sitting on the amp. It'd be a bit weird. See, he actually said sitting on one of the amps, not a seat, on one of the amps.
You can bring your kids, but you can't bring another adult.
Oh, you can't bring the kids for very long, though. That's like, okay.
No, if they hang around for a while, say hello, then they go again.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, but you can't be having, in the creative process, you can't be having
a partner sit on the amp. Mm. I mean, that is a bit weird. I mean, but, you know, I like some of her music too, actually.
So, really?
Yeah.
What about her art?
Walking on Thin Ice, it's a great song. When she screams, oh, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I've got to open up my palate too.
Yeah, you've got to get into it.
I've got to do, I'd take some psychedelics like they did.
Yeah, so they went to, maybe this is the connection. They went to India, and this was before Sergeant Pepper's, wasn't it? I probably got the timeline wrong. And they all took drugs with the, what was his name? The Guru.
I thought the first time that they took it, because I heard this great thing with Lennon tells a story about when they went to a dinner party and someone put it in there.
That's not good.
Actually, can we use that for our Think Music?
What's that?
It's John Lennon telling the story the first time they had psychedelics. Yeah. And they don't know they're having them. The guy says, he goes, look, you've had them. They go, oh, I'll be fine. He said, no, I'm staying with you. And then they went off their tree, apparently.
Well, this is, they all went as a band to India to meet this guru. And it must have been George. I reckon it was George that was pushing that. Imagine that, you know, like you do your footy trip at the end of the year. Where are we going? We're going to Bali? We're going to Las Vegas? No, go to India. Yeah. We're going to India. Bring the girlfriends. And we're going to meet the guru.
What's his name? Swami Wami.
Guru.
Mahatma Coat.
For people that don't remember, Mahatma Coat was from Midday, the Midday Show.
The cricketer.
And he used to black up and wear a turban. But I was just listening to the Could Have Been Champions on the weekend, you know, the ABC. Mm,
yeah, yeah.
And Greg Champion rings in as Guru Bob. Guru Bob here. It's like an Indian Swami character. I remember Peter Moon used to do one.
Yeah. I don't know what the line is. I can't tell anymore. You can tell. You're pretty good at that stuff. I don't know what the line is.
I don't know if you get up on stage these days and do an Indian accent and you're not Indian, people look down on it a bit.
But if it's a disparaging, you know who we should have on? We should have Dilruk.
Dilruk J. Singer.
He should maybe come in and give us a lesson on the boundaries.
Because he does. He says stuff like, are you happy with your current provider? See, when he says it, it's very funny.
Did you do Midday?
Yeah, I did Midday twice. So they used to have stand-ups on. And it was a great, and people used to talk about how bad it was because often the audience weren't alive. So they were just, a lot of pensioners.
I did it and was just, I died.
And who was hosting? Because I did it when Darren Hinch was hosting.
Who were the hosts? Darren.
Mike Walsh. Going backwards, it went Darren.
I learned one of my best lessons from Mike Walsh.
What's that?
He said that when you can hear a cough in the audience, you've lost them or you're losing them.
Wow.
So if, and I've stood by that. And if you're telling a story with an audience and you hear, seriously, I bet next time you're struggling with, not that you ever struggle, you always do very well, but next time.
Not always.
Yeah, well, just see if there's a cough in there because.
It's a very good, when I do gigs and they get a motivational speaker up or someone, or the CEO.
You can hear a pin drop.
Occasionally you can hear a cough though.
Oh, you can hear. Oh, if they're. Oh,
you know, like on Q&A or a TV show like that, occasionally you'll hear coughing when some of the politicians do their long. And I just think that, you know.
Okay, so
Mike
you had
Walsh, yeah, no,
Mike
I went
Walsh.
On.
He started with Walsh. It started with Walsh.
Ray Martin.
He would have been. He took over from Mike.
Kerri-Ann.
Darren.
And Darren, that was it, wasn't
and
it?
And then they had dropped. Remember Shirley?
Oh, Shirley Strawn did me, Dave.
No, Shirley was the floor manager.
What?
He was one of the characters on the Mike Walsh show.
Was he?
Shirley, as in that was his name. I forget what his name was.
Oh.
I toured around the country with him doing a show for
really
a cigarette company. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was this? 1978.
I did tour around the country.
But was he an actual floor manager like Phil?
The floor manager, yeah.
Remember like Phil from Hey Hey.
Yeah, look, it's no use we look it up because no one will remember who I'm talking about anyway. But yeah, he was his nickname was Shirley, and he does radio in Sydney now, I think, or he used to.
Was Jeff Harvey on?
Oh yeah,
on keyboards.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I had all the big ones. Jeff Harvey's passed away, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, geez, all the Gen Ys are really locking in onto this podcast. That's all right. Don't worry about that.
So you did stand up on the midday show, and you reckon it would have been the 80s?
It would have been before I had done the Comedy Company. So well, it would have been mid 80s. Yep.
And was it good or bad?
Comedy Company.
Well, it was a great show.
Groundbreaking show. What are you talking about? Stepped on the barbed wire for every no laid on the barbed wire.
I tell you, the first time I did midday, it was I had a great spot. I remember Darren Stacey, the friend of the show, a comedian, said he watched it and he goes, "I've never seen anyone do better on midday than you did." Because I smashed it. Because you know what, I went out beforehand and I said to the audience, who were all middle aged and older, and I was a young man at this stage, and I said, "Hey guys, my mum and dad are watching at home. Can you just laugh at anything I say?"
Oh, smart.
And so they all went, "Yeah." And so then the guy goes, "Oh, you're fantastic. We'll get you back in 2 weeks."
Mm.
I'm like, "I've got no more material."
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a young comic.
It's always the way.
So I came back in 2 weeks' time, and the same floor manager's like, "Oh, man, the audience are terrible. They're all like Japanese tourists."
Yeah.
He goes, "I think you're going to get axed. Darren's interview with the woman who does craft has gone too long with Tonya Todman. It's gone too long. The Tonya Todman segment's gone too long." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And you know, take it, you just relax. And then he comes on a minute later, "No, you're on." You're like, "Oh, no."
You think, fantastic, and get up here and just go home. You don't have to worry.
It's awful.
Yeah, I had four people were asleep when I did it. It's not a good feeling when you're dying and they're asleep as well.
But, you know, midday used to break some people. Like, I mean, in terms of show, but Steady Eddie was, like, big on midday. Remember Steady Eddie?
Oh, yeah.
Big on midday.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when midday was kind of this area that you could actually get an audience.
Yeah.
It's not anymore, is it?
No.
Not at all. I mean, was a time when all the mums would sit down after doing all their work. And
shopping in the school drop-off. They watch midday.
Midday, and then they get back into it after that.
Well, I think the close thing we have now is Studio 10, isn't it?
Yeah. What's it start? Late 30 and goes through till about 12, isn't it?
It goes for hours. It goes from 8:30 to midday.
Well, you and I used to do the circle.
Yeah. That was hard. That was a long time. I got a migraine on Circle when I was doing it. I started to get all that.
Did you say migraine or migraine?
I say migraine. It's a joke when I say migraine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, well, it's not a very funny joke. But anyway, I got a migraine.
Meaning, I see. And sorry. So, I won't question it again.
Because for a comedian, that's quite a long time commitment, isn't it? We're used to going on
three or four hours.
Yeah, 3 or 4 hours live TV. And I was just feeling sicker and sicker, and I thought, I'm going to vomit.
On live television.
And then the last thing was when the chef brings out his food that he's cooked.
No.
And he's got this pork stuff and he's waving in my face. I'm like, "Oh man, I'm going to make international news by projectile vomiting onto this guy." And so I just held on. And later on.
Having said that, you would have got a lot of money for the blooper shows around the world. You would have been living off that for the rest of your life.
Oh, you're the vomit guy. That guy held on to the toilets afterwards. But oh my God, it wasn't cool.
Did you vomit later?
Oh yeah, straight away. Almost straight away. Anyway, I don't get migraines anymore because it was high blood pressure. So my twin brother was getting them at the same time, and you know he's as skinny as you, and he went to the doctor, and it's high blood pressure.
Yeah, I think it's kind of in your DNA. You kind of like you've got no control over it, really.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, I get or optical migraine, which is you see a squiggly line.
Yeah,
do you see colours?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the migraine chat. Health talks here on somehow
Beatles.
Related.
Beatles.
What else can we talk about affecting?
I think Australia was one of their best markets. I think they had more number ones in Australia than in the UK and the US. I think, I don't know, some bloody thing like that. I don't know.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I'm on the Mike Walsh show.
Mike Walsh. I think you're right. I think they were like ABBA were like that, weren't they? Anyway, they're a great band, the Beatles. I don't want to get into details here. But you know, I don't want to go say how many times I've done Speaks Again, but I don't know if you saw the episode I did with one of the Beatles. It wasn't shown. I don't know.
Hang on.
It was an extra on a DVD.
What are you talking about?
Well, we could call him up, see if he's around. Should we call him up? Or?
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm going with this.
All right.
Who are we ringing?
We're ringing one of the Beatles. Well, you know, he's probably busy.
Busy. Of course he's busy.
Hello, who is it? Is that Paul?
Is that Paul? Ah, oh, that Steve O'Neill.
Ah, hey, Paul. How are you? See, we're friends, and this is Glenn here.
G'day, Paul. Yeah, lovely to speak with you.
Oh, Glenn. Yes, yes, Glenn Robbins.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you were on the little river band.
close, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Arthur, actually. Don't worry about it.
He thinks you're Glenn Shorrock.
Yeah, I know. Or Glenn Ridge from Sale of the Century, where he wouldn't get
it. I know this.
I don't know you then.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Paul, nice to meet you.
Are you having a vegan breakfast? What's happening over there?
Oh, yes. We're having a vegan lunch. My daughter's over there, and she's showing off some clothes. And we're having vegan and a chai latte, soy latte. Cool. So, we're having a boring day in the morning.
Paul,
very nice.
We're just
freezing up here.
I'm sure at Mullican Tie. I'm sure it's very cold. We're trying to work out what the connection is between your band, the Beatles. You remember the Beatles? You're in them, the Beatles.
Yes. We're great, and lots of great memories. A lot of people say a lot of bad stuff about the Beatles and ill will, but we're really, really good mates.
Yeah.
Well, Ringo and I, anyway. The Himalayas.
Mount Everest. What's the connection?
Yeah, Mount Everest. I think we studied with the Maharishi up there. Yeah. And, he was a total wanker. But we studied with the Maharishi, and I think so. All I know is that we're very, very high.
High as Mount Everest, maybe. Maybe that's the connection. Are you working on any new songs, or...?
Yes. I've got to say that Dave filled in for us when the Wings came to Melbourne. He played bass, Glenn. And
this is how I really know him. I played bass.
He was a kid, really, and he only could play Smoke on the Water. But anyway, we it was good. He was he's a good mate, and we've stayed in contact with him.
We have.
He's a great person. We've been working on some songs, I've got a new song. I'm just running by. Can I sing it to you?
Sure, okay. We're short on time.
We're running a little bit short on
time. Go on.
All right. Okay, this is the one I think is best. Here we go. Who's that knocking at the door? Ding dong, ding dong. Who's that ringing the bell? Knock, 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 knock. It's Uncle Albert from the motel.
I think nobody's home ding, with ding, Paul ding, at the ding, moment. Dong. There's a ding, ding, ding.
Listen, Andy's coming up to see us on the choo-choo train.
Nobody's home.
Choo-choo, choo-choo.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
See the dogs and the sheep and the cows and the horses. Moo-hoo, clip-clop, whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop.
Thanks, Paul. All the best with that one.
That
was Paul McCartney.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never mentioned how I filled in on Wings. I've forgotten about that. Just one concert.
Gee, and,
he plays bass, but he hurt his hand, so I had to play. But as he said, I only knew Smoke on the Water, so it was a pretty boring concert. The fans weren't happy. All right, so Mount Everest.
So it didn't really help us in any way, but it's given us a segue into Mount Everest.
Mm.
I think I went through a period where I read a lot of books about and watched a lot of documentaries about Mount Everest.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? There's too many documentaries about Mount Everest, Lady Di, and sharks.
Yes, true, actually.
We're done, I reckon.
Mount Everest, I've never had an attraction to. Would you like to go and climb it? Or?
No, I don't want to climb it, but I love it. Did you see the documentary Touching the Void?
No.
Can I tell you the story?
Yeah, go on, tell me.
So... Oh, this is strap yourself in.
Hmm.
Two guys are climbing the mountain. One falls because you're strapped together, and he slides down.
I did abseiling at school and scouts. Yeah.
Slides down. One hangs on, but he falls into a cave. Hmm. Like so, he's swinging in the cave, right? And the guy up top's going, he's got to climb back up, and he doesn't climb back up. So you know what he does?
He cuts the rope.
Cuts the rope, and he falls down and breaks his leg.
Oh.
So then the other guy thinks, well, he's gone. He's dead. He's gone over. He's dead. He continues climbing, I think. And the other guy sees the light, climbs towards the light, gets out with a broken leg. And losing you?
Hang on. Was this a documentary?
It was Touching the Void.
Documentary?
Anyway, so the other guy goes back, right, to the camp.
Mm. So he goes, I don't know about having the Gary.
Yeah. Let's eat his rations, and they go as a bit of a ritual, they burn his clothes to sort of go they sit around.
Thanks for that.
So anyway, he's made it out, and he finally climbs climbs down the mountain. Unfortunately, he climbs through the area where the latrine is. So he's got to climb through shit.
Oh.
Climbs all the way back to camp and goes, well, at least I'm back and I can change into my nice fish. And then they go, yeah, we burnt them last night. You might have to sleep smelly tonight. Anyway, sensational document. And Into Thin Air was another one. That was John Krakauer. Yeah, go on.
Is this like a Talking Heads documentary where they interview both the guys?
Yeah. So I think it won an award.
So you know that they're alive because they're doing – that's the thing that annoys me about some of those docos where they interview and you go, he's obviously alive because he's here talking.
It's still a gripping story though.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It sounds good.
Because he broke his leg and he was down the bottom of a cave. Horrific. And all he could see two tunnels. He's going – one could lead deeper in, or one could lead out, and he just chose the right one and popped out the top. And anyway, it's probably all crap. They
probably made it up.
Into Thin Air was another good one. But I think it's like people are. Did you see that photo a few weeks back where there was a line of like 200 people waiting to get into the summit? I've always thought about this. If you get to the summit, is there an actual pointy bit? Is there one bit that points?
Isn't there a flag or something?
But so say,
you mean like a pointy bit?
Say you and I climb up there.
It flattens out, doesn't it?
But imagine if there's an actual pointy bit where you go, okay, now I'm on the very pointy bit.
Remember we talked to Jess McGuire, she went up to Mount Kilimanjaro on another thing we were doing, and she said it was just like a flat surface on the top. Do you reckon Everest would be a...
actual pointy bit.
Oh, you got to climb up the point.
Well, and then you're going... Because if I want to have a go on the point, if you get a go on the point.
Hang on, I know Edmund Hillary. We'll get him on the phone.
Hello, Dave. Hello.
No, it's Edmund Hillary, not Paul McCartney.
And have you written a song? Have you written anyway, I just thought of, you know, because it would not be a moment if you're standing on the highest mountain in the world and then you look behind you and there's 200 people waiting to have a stand. You know, it's like going to the tallest at the footy.
Krispy Kreme shop at the airport. No,
yeah, you just feel under pressure, wouldn't you? Yeah. Come on. Hey.
You had your 5 minutes.
Get on with it. People waiting here to get on the pointy bit.
That's where I reckon, that's why I wouldn't go to Everest. Because that's why I always would go.
Because you were thinking about it, except for
I was thinking about it.
Thinking about it.
I just reckon it sounds a bit.
Altitude sickness sounds terrible.
It sounds awful.
Sounds like you with your migraine.
It's just ego. Is it why people want to go? It's just ego to say, "Oh, I've been to Everest."
Well, to get the adrenaline going to take on the ultimate challenge.
I'd rather go to the Amazon
and do what?
Paddle in the canoe down the Amazon. I reckon that'd be more interesting than Everest.
Maybe you should get. Well, you can do that.
A bit warmer.
Yeah, you should just go up far north Queensland.
I'd rather go to the Murray. I'd rather go to the Maribyrnong. I'd rather go to the Goulburn.
I'd rather stay at home and watch it on TV and just pretend. I remember seeing that movie, what was it, where the soccer team, the plane crashed in the...
Alive,
right? And I'm thinking, I'm not getting into it that much. So I watched it on Bytu. So it just went really fast. So they... Because I knew they were going to get out. I go, okay, they'll talk about eating each other, yeah, whatever, and they won't be on, and then they won't get on, and they'll all get on, and they walked out, and everyone was happy.
You know, Steve Vai, that's got the best story about those guys. So he interviewed the actual guys who ate people on his Tonight Show. He interviewed some of the survivors from the rugby team, yeah. And then the next day he had to get a plane to Sydney, and he looked around, and those guys were sitting behind him. Hey, boys.
Don't get any ideas. Once was enough.
They've got catering on the plane.
Having said that, Steve wouldn't be – he'd be quite a delicious meal. He'd be big, plenty to
big,
go.
Big boy.
Yeah,
probably back then. Maybe he was very skinny, though, back in those days.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've got Mount Everest. And we've got the Beatles. What else can we say? Highest mountain in the world. Don't really want to climb it. You could do it with oxygen. You can't – if you're really good, you do it without – I saw a –
Well, this is the thing, too. They've all got Sherpas helping them. They're the real heroes, aren't they?
There's another documentary called Sherpa.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting.
That's great because they're the guys doing the actual heavy lifting.
See, I wouldn't mind going for a bit of a trek in the Nepal and Tibetan area, but I just don't want to go up the mountain.
Because even if you go to Camp One, you still get altitude sickness.
Yeah, not interested.
Even if you just go in that area, you get altitude.
Yeah, not interested.
No. You feel lightheaded and woozy. No, I feel like that most of the time. Anyway. Yeah. So that's much difference. What else is there about Everest that we don't, you know? I used to have a board game called Mount Everest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that board game.
It was really good.
Man, and you had to climb the mountain? Was it
like the climbers had a pom-pom, a beanie that stuck out, and you had to get a little hook and lift them up by their beanie. and then put them on the next ledge.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
And then you go right up to
the... It's a great 1970s board game, I reckon.
Yeah, and they have a hook as well, and then sometimes you go with hooks or ledges.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Anyway, that's big news.
It's good. I bet it's better than Monopoly. Sounds like a good game.
Yeah, but it was frustrating, though.
No,
because
really?
You just, you know, the amount of time that you fall off and die.
Like Kaplunk. Have you played Kaplunk? Or, you know, that one where you pull the sticks out and even things...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just annoying.
You just want to push it over, don't you?
All right. Well, I think we've
look, enough. I'm getting something in the Sherpa department.
Okay.
I'm getting something in the song department. I'm getting something in the tradition area. Now, what do you want to have as thinking music? I suggested John Lennon.
Yeah, John Lennon telling his story.
About...
time he took LSD.
The first time they took LSD.
All right, let's hear it.
A dentist in London laid it on George, me and our wives without telling us at a dinner party at his house. He was a friend of George's and our dentist at the time. And he just put it in our coffee or something, yeah. He was saying, I advise you not to leave. And we thought he was all trying to keep us for an orgy in his house and we didn't want to know, you know. I mean, it was insane going around London on it. And we thought when we went to the club, we thought it was on fire. And we were cackling in the street and then, you know, people were shouting, let's break a window. You know, we were just insane. I mean, we just had our heads and finally we got in the lift and we all thought there was a fire in the lift. It was just a little red light and we were all screaming like that. And the lift stops and the door opens and we're all going,
psychedelics, here you go. So you know that psychedelics are sort of almost recognised use for people who have a fear of death that are.
Yeah, they take them, don't they? We've talked about acid before on this podcast and magic mushrooms, haven't we? Yes, we did.
Which is psilocybin, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty full on. I wouldn't recommend it.
You've done it though, haven't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. No good.
Yeah, because it can. I think 1 in 10 it can be horrific. But other people say that it's the best thing. That don't take this as kids out there.
One of my friends or a colleague. I won't say his name. I'll just call him Dino. Anyway, Dino might be on some form of communications over the airways. And he took, told me the other day, him and 20 of his mates took LSD and then went to the Titanic Theatre restaurant.
Oh. Which is...
in Williamstown, in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the floor
it goes
moves.
It goes under. The floor moves and it goes under, doesn't it? The windows fill up with water.
Oh, what a fun weekend for them. Yeah. They're young people. They're young, Glenn.
Yeah.
They're young and stupid stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the connection?
I'm going to say that the Sherpas, it's something like this. It's a tradition that you sing a Beatles song when you get to the top.
Oh, wow.
What one would it be? I don't know. You've got a good memory for Beatles songs. What would it be? Let It Be?
Let It Be.
Yeah.
It would be something vibey. Octopus's Garden and the Octopus's Garden.
And you sing that when you've made it to the top.
No, Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds.
Okay, can we go now? Because I've spent, how much would it cost you? $300,000 or something.
Cost a lot of money.
Cost a lot of money. But you sing your song, you walk back down. Anyway, what do you think?
I don't know. I think that maybe our caller Paul was on the right. I reckon they did go to Mount Everest when they were with the guru. I just reckon when they went to base camp, and that's where maybe they got the idea for Sergeant Pepper's or something like that. I think it's got something to do with them visiting Mount Everest.
Having a moment,
having an epiphany. That's where they decide, because they sort of had a bit of a change of heart after they went and saw the guru. Their music changed a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sam, what is the answer?
Everest became the working title of their then unnamed 11th album because a sound engineer working with the Beatles smoked Everest cigarettes and the band liked the image. But as another engineer recalled, the band didn't fancy a trip to Tibet to get a photo. He remembers someone saying, look, I can't be bothered to slap all the way over to the Himalayas for a cover. Why don't we just go outside, take the photo there, call the LP Abbey Road and have done with it. So they did. Abbey Road was the nearest crosswalk available to the band outside the studio and became their iconic album.
That's really interesting. So it's kind of that thing where you just look for it. Often a name is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And then it takes on the connotation purely by the association, as opposed to, not that it needed to be associated with cigarettes, but you go, if you actually, you don't even question it sometimes. I mean, I knew Abbey Road was Abbey Road.
Yeah. And they recorded theirs.
But if it was called Everest, you would have given it this connotation that it's going to the ultimate heights or in your life.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, but imagine it's been like naming your album Melbra or, you know,
yeah.
Winnie Blues.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Isn't it funny that they're such a creative? They were such a creative force, but in terms of finding a name for their album,
often the good names are right in front of you, and you don't see them.
And Abbey Road's such a good name. Yep. Abbey Road is a good name for an album. I don't know why, but it's just one of those.
It's amazing how it sticks, isn't it?
Mm.
But we used to have the Mickey Mouse theory with guys who used to surf, and the idea was if you could do something really well, you could wear Mickey Mouse ears and you'd still look cool.
Oh,
so, in other words, the coolness comes first, and then the association comes second. So it's not like so you call it anything. Call it ham sandwich, and everyone goes, "Yeah, ham sandwich." That's a great album, Ham Sandwich.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. So the psychology of naming, and then I mean, you and I have been in meetings where we.
I've tried TV shows.
It's just the worst. Yeah. And you always think of it in terms of what the critics will say. And you just go, I just can't. And some names just go pop.
Yeah, for
no reason. And some names just go, it's like naming a baby. How did you name your babies?
Yeah.
You know, he's just, you know, anyway.
Were you involved in the naming of any shows like, I mean, you were involved in the panel. And see, the panel's a good one because that's an obvious. That's a literal name, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like a working title.
Yeah.
And then you just go, oh, we'll just leave with that. Well,
Thank God You're Here was a working title. The guy said, you've got to change that. And I think they showed someone, they said, no, that's the best thing about it because it tells you exactly what it is.
Well, it's actually a catchphrase, isn't it, from the show.
Yeah, Thank God You're Here. So,
Would I Lie to You? That's a good name.
Yep.
Would I Lie to You?
Yep.
That's a good
Dave,
name.
Dave, that's a good name.
Dave.
It was a good name.
Yeah, well.
Because Dave has a connotation to it.
Yeah.
It has a subtext.
Certain age group.
It has a connotation of everydayness, of normal guile, blue collar, straight bat, enjoys banana smoothies and donuts and dim sims.
I had a banana smoothie the other night.
I haven't had
a banana smoothie. I had banana milkshakes, but they weren't doing them at the shop I went to. They just did smoothies. So I had a smoothie, but it was still good.
See, when you get the smoothie, you want to have it through a straw, don't you?
Mm.
What's your rule of thumb? Do you have to actually get down with a spoon to get the ice cream at the bottom?
No. I used a straw. But that's like a more thick shake.
I think
you're thinking of there. But you're right. If you get some of those Boost Juice type smoothies, they're so thick. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway, we've come back around to food. I still don't think you know the Beatles. I don't think that. I'm not sure about that, Paul McCartney.
Oh, you didn't, Paul McCartney?
I'm not sure
that's
about
Paul
that.
That's Paul McCartney. I know. As I filled in for Wings. When Wings do it, I would have been about 16, probably.
Can we have a competition?
Mm.
Biggest music star you've ever met.
Okay, go.
Oh, you sure you want to take me on this?
Oh, I reckon. See, I mean, sure.
I've got two.
But you're going to beat me. You're going to beat me.
No, but you would have met people on the
radio. Okay. And also doing radio for a long time.
Come on. Because and then if you go, I'll go. You just go with one. Pick one.
Look, I'm trying to think of really big, obvious ones. Jermaine Jackson. See, he's not even that big.
Yeah.
His brother. If you met Michael, that'd be different.
Jermaine Jackson. When I was in LA, the girl I was staying with, he lived next door.
Jermaine lived next door.
Imagine a ball coming over the fence or something.
Hey guys.
Hey, your ball's come over the fence.
Well, when he with those
your dog's barking.
Those artists like him, they tend to turn up with an entourage. Like, I mean, Ice-T, for example, turned up with 10 people.
Yeah.
But he just came by himself. Pretty sure he got the bus there. Like,
people are dying to know who mine are.
Okay, here we go. Hit me. Okay, is it a Beatle?
No.
Is it a Rolling Stone?
He's not with us anymore.
Oh. Okay, go on here.
David Bowie.
You met David Bowie?
He met me.
Well, I can't do any better than David Bowie. Where did you meet David Bowie?
I met him backstage at Kooyong. And you know what struck me?
When did he do that concert?
Yeah. I don't know why I was there.
The Moonlight Tour.
Different coloured eyes. Different coloured eyes.
Yeah, he had an injury at school.
Yeah, it was an injury at school.
Yeah, someone poked him.
Maybe I should have said that to him when I met him.
Oh. And what did he say to you?
Big fan of Uncle Arthur.
Well, I don't know. Who's the second one?
Sting.
Oh, Sting. That's right.
Sting.
There we go. Well, you've beat me. All I was going to say was Greedy Smith from Mental as Anything.
Oh,
so.
That's pretty good. I don't like a name dropper, but, you know, as long as there's a story associated with it, because I've told it on here before. I'm not telling it again. I did the yoga with Sting.
You did yoga with Sting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Mm. I haven't heard David Bowie before, though. That's new to me.
Yeah, David Bowie. That's amazing. I can't think. In Australia, who's the number one in Australia? Yeah. I'm John Farnham.
But can you get John Farnham? I've never met him. I met Darryl Braithwaite.
Oh, I go swimming with Darryl Braithwaite down the beach.
Wow. I go bike riding with Ross Wilson from Mondo Rock.
There's got to be some other activity associated with it.
Well, can you get Sting on the phone now? No, you can't.
Well, I think he would remember if you were to bring it up. If we were at a dinner party, I would bore him with my story about doing yoga with him.
Yes. No, we should go. And we should thank Fred Rowan, too, for his contribution today.
Very good work, Fred.
Okay.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.